Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. Now, this is a follow-up to the Rapture Ready video I did last week, which got a lot of feedback, a lot of comments. The majority agreed, but quite a few people didn't agree as well. It ruffled a few feathers. It seems like it's a hot topic. I mean, I received some threats of violence and some crazy responses, which makes me think I might be over target with this one. I get this type of response before when I was talking about the CO network. So I'm going to talk about this some more in this video and do it a bit more justice. Look into the arguments and the strategy behind them. For some, this might be a little bit too complicated in places. For others, it may be not complicated enough. But as it says in Corinthians, God is not the author of confusion. The author of confusion would be Satan. Satan controlling man, who then complicates things. And complications are created usually to deceive you. You ever look at the way the legal system works, the language of legalese? It's used for deception, to hide things. Or the terms and agreements to things, say for example, apps that you may download to your phone. These terms and agreements are, you know, really long and complicated because they don't want you to read them. People don't read them and they just end up agreeing and end up giving away their rights. Things are nearly always overcomplicated in order to confuse and deceive. I like to keep things as simple as possible. Now we're going to look into many of the reasons people give for a 7-year pre-tribulation rapture. You will notice that when explanations for it are given, people will come up with the most complicated, convoluted reasons to explain why there is one, putting together various pieces of scripture and making huge leaps and bounds, joining them together. But in my opinion, they have to go to these highly complex reasons because it's simply not in there in the first place. And again, from a simple logical perspective, do you not think if people were to be saved in a rapture 7 years before Jesus returns, do you not think it would be clearly outlined in the Bible? It's quite a big thing to happen. We know Jesus was crucified. It says so in the Bible. We know that he was resurrected. It says so in the Bible. We know Noah built an ark because it says so in the Bible. We know there's something called the mark of the beast linked to buying and selling. It says so in the Bible. It doesn't say anything about people getting saved 7 years prior to Jesus coming back. Why would that not be clearly outlined? It's a big deal, isn't it? Some people will say, it's a secret. All right, it's a secret. It's not clearly outlined because it's not there. And before we get into this into any more detail, I mean, ultimately, whether or not you believe in a 7-year pre-trib rapture, the most important thing to remember, the most important message is, if you are born again, meaning that God gives you a new heart and puts a new spirit within you, if you are born again, you are saved. As it states in the Bible very clearly, there's no confusion about this. It states, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And as Jesus said, you must be born again. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if that's the case with you, then the 7-year pre-trib rapture or no 7-year pre-trib rapture, it doesn't matter. You're saved either way. Okay? I think people get stuck on this concept because they were raised to think this way, and maybe also because they are afraid of having to go through tribulation and persecution. You shouldn't be afraid. Do not fear. You should take faith again in what Jesus said. Here we see John 17:15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. This is Jesus requesting God to protect his people from within the world from the evil one. So this is saying not take you out of the world, but to keep you from evil, to protect you from evil at that time. So you're protected, not raptured 7 years, but protected, just as Noah and co were protected in the flood. They weren't beamed up, but God protected them. I know what some people will say. They will say, oh, this John 17:15 was a message directed to another group. And we'll get into that in a minute. Then in Revelation 3:10, it states that I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. Again, this is about a promise of divine protection for those that are saved, that are born again. I will keep you means, in my opinion, to protect, not to rapture out. There are so many other passages that go against the theory of the rapture. For example, Luke 21, it says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. When they say things that come to pass, it's talking about the signs of the tribulation. Look up when you see these signs. Why would you be looking up if you're not there for the tribulation? The same signs of tribulation happen around you. According to Christ's warning, the church must look for his coming while they watch and notice the predicted signs and experience the tribulation. There's many others, more obvious, and I'll get onto that in a second. Again, God is not the author of confusion. If he wanted you to know about a 7-year pre-trib rapture, you wouldn't need to put pieces together to work it out like a puzzle. Now, many of the complex arguments that are brought forward for reasons that there might be a 7-year pre-trib rapture come from something called dispensationalism. Dispensationalism is a man-made theory. Now, this may be complicated for some, and if so, it's only complicated because it's a man-made theory. Now, what is dispensationalism? Dispensationalism, it says here, is history is divided into multiple ages or dispensations in which God acts with his chosen people in different ways. Basically, it's splitting up groups of God's children, splitting what some people call Israel, the original people at the start of the Bible, okay, Abraham, Moses, the original covenant that they had with God, as described in Exodus, you know, the Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai, and separating it with what they call the church, which is the covenant that Jesus made with the people. And they say this is a separate covenant with the Gentiles. Two separate people, two separate covenants. This is what they call dispensationalism. And when you do this, they then claim that the church, the Gentiles, are raptured first 7 years before they get an early rapture before Israel, basically. Okay, you following me? This concept of dispensationalism is a man-made theory. It's not biblical. Yes, they use different terms for the church and Israel in the Bible, but that is used as a literary device. A literary device being a strategy used in the making of a narrative to relay information to the audience and particularly to develop the narrative, right? They use these two terms so you understand what group of people they are talking about at that time in the story. There are distinctions between them in the Bible due to it being needed in order for people to differentiate between them in the Word. But that does not mean they need to be treated separately outside of reading, and especially right now. It's no different to the meanings of ye, you, thee, thou, thy, and thine in the 1611 King James Bible, which again is a literary device used to differentiate between whether Jesus is addressing a single person or a group of people, a single country or a group of nations, right? A good example of this is when Jesus speaks to Nicodemus. He says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Thee is the singular, you, refers to the individual Nicodemus, while ye, plural, you, refers to everyone who wants to be saved. So it's a literary device, and the church and Israel are used to differentiate between two groups of people. And this dispensationalism, the separating of the church and Israel, is what they base most of the 7-year pre-trib rapture arguments on, right? Now, in my opinion, the man-made teaching of dispensationalism is about creating division, separation, This is how the establishment, the systems of power, control the masses. I've talked about this a lot. Look at politics and elections, the left and the right, the Hegelian dialectic. These strategies have always been used to separate and divide in order to control and dominate the masses. And in this case, in my opinion, it's being used in order to have a template to create concepts off of, such as a 7-year pre-trib rapture, to confuse people, to make them believe in something that is not in there. In my opinion, when Jesus died on the cross, he was renewing the covenant with Israel. There is no two different people. It's all the same. We are all subject to the same grace and the guidelines of the law. And you're told this very clearly in the Bible many, many times. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Colossians 3:11. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:12, 13. We're all in the same boat. It tells you right there. There is no difference. You are all in Christ Jesus. Don't be falling for the old divide and conquer trick. Yeah? There is no separate covenant with Israel, no two destinies, and no two peoples. These dispensationalists will say this is replacement theology, as in you're replacing Israel with the church. But it's more accurate to say that this is fulfillment theology. Jesus says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He is fulfilling the original covenant, renewing it. That's why they say you renew your mind when you become a born again believer. The law is the same, but we are now under grace, as it states. Believers are described as not under law, but under grace. The law is to tell you, to guide you away from sin, telling you what actions result in sin and destruction to your physical self. Galatians 3:29 tells us that if we are in Christ, if we have become saved, we are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. The Old Testament promise is fulfilled in all of the saved elect in both testamental periods. There is now no distinction between the two. Okay, so now with that in mind, back to the pre-trib rapture. Jesus says, after the tribulation, he sends his angels to gather his elect, Matthew 24:29-31. Okay, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So he is gathering his elect at the sound of a trumpet, immediately after tribulation. I'm not seeing anything said here about before 7 years, 7 years before tribulation. It's immediately after tribulation, gathering together his elect. Who are the elect? Again, Apostle Paul tells us who the elect are. Colossians 3:11, 12. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So all is in Christ, yeah? But Christ is all and in all. So all, everyone, every Tom, Dick and Harry are all in Christ, everybody, and are the elect of God. The same elect that are gathered immediately after the tribulation. Peter tells us to make our election sure. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. You're not going to be part of the falling away. So those who are the one in Christ Jesus, the elect, which is everyone, will be saved, resurrected at the last trump, at the end of time, at the second coming, not 7 years prior. You remember 1 Thessalonians 4 that is brought up saying this means 7 year pre-trib rapture, they say, caught up in the clouds with the Lord at the sound of the trumpet of God. Also stated in Corinthians 15:52, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Yes, we are changed at the last trump. And there are seven trumps in Revelation, and the seventh one is the last one and is at the end of the tribulation. So clearly this resurrection is at the end of tribulation, immediately after the tribulation. So it's not 7 years before. That makes sense to me. Does it not make sense to you? This is my opinion. I mean, you can believe what you want. It's up to you. Let me know what you think in the comments below, and I'll leave you with this one, Galatians 3:29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your time, and I'll see you later.